Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right, welcome to episode one of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Today's topics, we're going to discuss a few things here. We're going to talk about Zumbro coming up, the 100-miler, the 50-miler, the 17-miler down in southeastern Minnesota on April 12th. We're going to talk a little bit about Boston coming up. There's some local people here running Boston on April 15th. The NMTC races, the Wednesday night trail, the Wednesday night trail series is coming up late April, and then also the Fickers 5K is right around the corner as well. That one kind of kicks off the local road racing scene here in Duluth.
We're also going to talk about trails closed in Duluth, and we got some other stuff for you. So stay tuned and let's get started.
All right, let's start out with Zumbro. Mike, I know you're running the 100-miler. A lot of other local people are doing the different races as well. Tell me, you've done it before. Tell me about your experience with Zumbro, what you're expecting this year, and how your prep's been going so far.
Yeah, so Zumbro starts this Friday, the April 12th, 8 a.m. is when the 100-mile starts. Midnight is when the 50 mile begins, midnight on, I guess, Friday night into Saturday. And I've done that one two times. So going back for the 6-loop course, and of course the 17 mile, the last race, which is the, most popular of the events, that starts, I believe it's 8 a.m. or maybe 9 on Saturday. So they're all kind of staggered. Yeah, a lot of people, from the trail world in Minnesota going down there, and I'll tell you what I'm looking at, and hate to beat a dead horse, but the weather looks like we have a large weather system coming in that could be a little dicey. Another another spring storm, who knows?
Yeah, exactly like last year and the situation that they had, and like it's often been down there for that race. Sometimes they get perfect weather and things are pretty dry, and sometimes it's just a big winter storm or a mud fest down there, and you never quite know what you're going to get.
Well, here's an interesting thing, you know, from last year, 2018, Zumbro, you know, had a pretty pretty historic storm in April, but that came in on Friday evening into Saturday, and so the 100 mile had already started. I think the 50 started as it just started, you know, snowing and stuff. And the 17 was canceled because of the road conditions coming in and out. Whereas it looks like this storm is going to really hit on kind of Wednesday, Thursday, maybe into Friday. So Saturday actually is looking like kind of a decent day for running. But, you know, if it snows 2 feet, like some of them are saying, that can make for a pretty sloppy trail.
Maybe the 100-milers will pack down a nice surface for the 50-milers and the 17-milers.
I'm going to do whatever I can to make it nice for all the 17-milers.
Yeah, I've done that race myself. I did the 100-miler, but I dropped out, and it was a mud fest that year for sure. And I kind of joked that the trail got drier with each lap that we did, because the water started to just kind of soak up into our socks and our shoes and our trail gaiters and everything. And so instead of the water being on the trail, it was in our socks as we went for each loop.
Now, what year was that, Tony? That was 14 or?
No, that would have been, I'm thinking 2012, maybe 2013, something like that. Yeah, somewhere in there. Yep. So a handful of years ago now.
Yeah. As far as a competition or who's running it, I know Kevin Langton put together a pretty comprehensive pre-race report.
Nice.
So I don't know if we need to reinvent the wheel. If anyone's interested, definitely check out that that little report. I'm sure it's on the Zumbro website, you know, perhaps the social media outlets. And Kevin always does a great job doing the pre-race kind of preview, I guess.
Yeah, he's really good at that. I know it's on Facebook because I saw it there on Facebook. And I'm sure it's on some other things as well. But that's always a fun race. It's a beautiful course. John Storkamp down there does a tremendous job with all of his races, as everybody knows. And I love the set out. I love the layout of that race, how you get to come back to the home base every loop and people can camp out, and it's just a really cool setting.
Yeah. Six loops for the 100, 3 loops for the 50, 1 loop for the 17.
Yeah. If you're ever going to do it, just do the 17. I mean, come on.
Shut up, Tony.
So Zumbro, that's coming up. And then also Boston. Boston, obviously, the Boston Marathon, one of the more prestigious marathons in the world. Every year in Boston on Patriots Day, April 15th this year, that Monday. That's looking like a cool event. And we've got some local runners. I know Tim Gerns, Barry Brokaw, a handful of other people going down to do that. So that's it's always fun to follow the race itself and see how it goes, plays out. But it's really super fun to follow the locals too and see how they do.
Yeah, the tracking's really awesome on that. You know, it's pretty easy to just find it on the Boston webpage. And I know I've tracked a lot of Boston runners over the years. Just not very good for my work productivity, but it's it's always fun on Boston Day to track, you know, people, locals and stuff running.
Yeah. Yeah, being a Monday race, it can be tricky to follow, but I know people who take days off of work on purpose just to watch it. Wise choice, by the way. A tip of this cap to you people who do that. But you can follow online sometimes as well. And, you know, it's kind of like March Madness. You kind of watch when the boss isn't looking, kind of a deal.
I know if you're looking to get involved and kind of check out the race from Duluth, I know that the Movement Center, Lightspeed Lift Movement Center, which is a new kind of treadmill gym here in town. Very cool. Check it out if you haven't. They're having kind of a, you know, all day event at their facility, Boston Watch Party. So do you know the address of that? I believe it's 500 Central. It's off Central Central Entrance. We'll get the address booted up here, but that should be a fun way. And there's a few other watch parties I think around town. You know, maybe a few running shops. There typically are, but I know for a fact that the Boston Watch Party at Lightspeed is going to be pretty fun. And you know, you can run on the treadmill, get your workout in. I think they have a kind of a contest going on too. The address is 500 East 10th Street here in Duluth for Lightspeed Lift Movement Center. So check that out Monday if you're looking for something to do during the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, so that's Boston. More local, the ever popular NMTC races, the Northern Minnesota Track Club, puts on their Wednesday Trail Series starting April 24th. And that'll go for a handful of weeks up until right before Grandma's, and then they'll take a little pause, and then they'll start up again, I think, in August for their fall series. But the spring series kicks off April 24th at 6 p.m., the Western Waterfront race, and that's a fun, fast trail. It's about 4.85 miles long for this race. It's a kind of a crushed limestone surface. It's relatively flat as far as Duluth trails go, very scenic right along the water, and a simple out and back, can't get lost, and really fun event for sure.
Yeah, I mean, some of these NMTC races are really technical, almost on, you know, deer trails, some really technical stuff, but this Western Waterfront's a great kind of first shot, and yeah, pretty easy running, although it is nearly 5 miles, I guess, so that can be a little high on the high end for some people, you know, depending on where your early season running training is at.
A nice thing about having Western Waterfront open up the spring series is that one's relatively dry because of it being a crushed rock. It drains really well, and so I know for a fact that that one was chosen as a first one often to utilize in the spring because the rest of the trail conditions are not so good, which is something that we're going to talk about later on in the podcast here.
But to get involved with that, I mean, kind of just show up. I know that you need to sign a waiver. Western Waterfront's kind of on Grand Avenue below Spirit Mountain there. Yeah, just show up. NMTC.run, I believe, is the website that you can go to for more information. But it's a free, maybe, you know, $1 optional donation, I think, technically. But yeah, it's a super fun kind of free weekly race series. Definitely check it out.
Yeah, nmtc.run is the website to go to. Yep, that's exactly right. And then, of course, the other big race locally that's coming up, and like I say, it starts off the road racing season here for Duluth, is the Fickers 5K. And we're going to be speaking with the race director here in a little bit. And we do know that there's a new course this year, so that's going to be a topic of discussion for sure. But that one's always fun. Always get some fast people with that, a really good turnout at that race. And weather can be a little iffy at times, but typically it's pretty decent, maybe a little windy, but overall it's pretty good weather.
Yeah, with the road construction going on at Superior Street, I mean, that's a headache for so many race directors, that and the lake walk and, road construction again, kind of throwing a wrench in the plans. But I know that they have a good reroute kind of set up for the Fickers 5K. And let's get Greg on the phone here and we'll hear from directly from him. Greg, the race director for Fickers 5K and Grandma's Marathon, and he can kind of let you know a little more what's going on.
Okay, we are here with Greg Hoppala, the race director for Fickers 5K and Grandma's Marathon and others. And Greg, we understand that there is going to be a new race course this year. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, we are making some changes with the Fickers 5K course for the next 2 years due to the Superior Street reconstruction projects being on the east side of Lake Avenue. And we're heading east for kind of an out-and-back course on London Road that I think runners are going to be excited about. It's a very fast course. Definitely could be a PR day for a lot of the 5Kers out there. And looking forward to just having something different. Still starting and finishing at the Fickers Complex, which is where all of the post-race activities are and packet pickup and such. But we're looking forward to seeing a little different stretch of Duluth for this race with Superior Street, London Road, and even a little bit of the Grandma's Marathon course as well.
Cool. Where exactly is the turnaround?
The turnaround is just west or southwest of 23rd Avenue East. So we're heading out on London Road, or out on Superior Street, then making a right at 10th onto London Road, taking London Road across 21st Avenue to just shy of 23rd Avenue East, making a turnaround there and heading back, and then at 20th Avenue East, the runners will actually make a left and head down to South Street that parallels I-35 and has some really great scenic looks at the bay and the aerial lift bridge. And then that swings right around to 15th, brings you right back to London Road, and then you head home from there and should have a great finish looking right at downtown and Fickers.
Yeah, from what I've seen of the course, too, that second half for sure is going to be fast. So advice to the runners out there, save a little bit for that second half because you'll move really well once you make that turnaround at 23rd.
Absolutely. It's a nice gradual, very gradual downhill most of the way back, so they should be flying.
Yep.
Is the course record going down?
I don't know. It would be an event record if it did.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'll have to look up exactly what that is. This is the 30th year of the Fickers 5K, as you guys may know. So there's a lot of great performances over the years. And there's been a couple of different variations, I think, of the course. But, we'll have to look back. And it certainly could well happen this year.
Well, I guess it's a guaranteed course record, actually.
Yeah, guaranteed course record. And then we like to look at the event records as well. The amount of courses change these days. It's kind of fun to look at it from both angles.
One thing that I really like about Fickers is it's such a great race for the locals, but we also do get some folks from the Twin Cities up for that race too. And of course, from just the area as well, but you get a nice mix with Fickers and that's always a cool thing for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a bigger event, for us. And I think for Duluth, it's a great kickoff to spring for the racing season. And just like you said, Tony, there's quite a few people out racing and really running hard and being competitive. But it's also become such a great event for everybody, whether it's your first 5K, whether you're just building into your season. It's the midpoint of our KP Challenge race that starts with a 4K in March, the St. Fantasy 4K, continues with the Fickers 5K, and then ends with the Park Point 5-miler. And so we really get everyone coming out for this event and hoping to hit 2,500 participants this year, which would be a participation record for sure and would be amazing.
Nice. Yeah, it's awesome to see that many people running on Superior Street and, for this early race of the season. What are some of the swag? What do the people get? What do you get for signing up for a Fickers 5K?
Sure, that's a great question. It's a really good deal of a race, I think. For $35, you get a long-sleeve quarter-zip technical shirt.
That's awesome.
Which we've had for many years. It's a great great piece of swag that I think people will be excited about. It's got a 30th anniversary logo on it this year.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a medal for this race when you cross the line for all finishers. And I've seen the designs, and it looks pretty amazing. Our creative director is very talented. So that's there to look forward to. Obviously, some great refreshments from our sponsors when you cross the line. There's some age group awards that are going to be really unique this year. We do, I think, three deep in all age groups, and those are always a big hit during the award ceremony down at the Rex afterwards. And not necessarily a participant gift, but something cool we have going on this year. We're celebrating the 30th year with a 30 days of giveaways promotion for the Fitgers 5K. We started 30 days out, and every single day we've been giving away a prize valued at least $50 from a variety of local partners and businesses and sponsors of the event. And so every day, all participants who are currently registered to that point are in a drawing. All they have to do is be registered by 3 p.m. that day, and everyone is eligible for that day's drawing. And then at the end, even the winners, everyone will be put back in on race day into one major drawing with all participants, and that is the grand prize, which will be a two-night stay at Fitgers Grandma's Marathon Weekend, as well as the entry into the Grandma's Marathon race of your choice. So a huge value prize there, especially with the premium that lodging is, particularly at Fitgers that weekend. So, we're really encouraging everybody to sign up early because you get more chances to win a lot of great prizes, and then everyone will get a chance to win that grand prize on race day. So that will be taking place during the awards ceremony afterwards.
Cool.
Yeah, I've been following some of that on social media, and it's really cool to see all the prizes being given away. And that grand prize is a sweet deal. Even if you live in Duluth, I would seriously consider just staying there for the night. The bus is right there to take you out to the start. It's just a great setting. And the people at Fitgers, I know them pretty well, and they are outstanding people. So, yeah, very cool prize.
So, yeah, thanks. No, we're excited about that.
So, Greg, is 2,500 people the cap? Is that met yet? How do people sign up? And let us know kind of how people can still sign up for the race.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. So 2,500 is our capacity for this race. That would be a good bump. I think the participation record is just over 2,100, and we have reached capacity the last couple of years. Just barely, but registration is definitely still open. We are tracking ahead, so we're hoping we can still reach that 2,500 mark. People can register online right now. If you go to grandmasmarathon.com and then navigate to the Fitgers 5K, it'll take you right to the registration link via our partner race roster, and you can get signed up today. We may or may not have on-site packet pickup registration, depending on how things go and whether it fills up before then or not. Mm-hmm. Assuming that we will, that would be a possibility as well to have a late registration. But the online registration will go right up until the end of day on Thursday, April 25th. Mm-hmm. So you can sign up until Thursday, April 25th, assuming we don't sell out before then, and then packet pickup and late registration will take place on Friday the 26th from 11 to 6 p.m. at Fitgers, and then also potentially on race morning, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. before the race. The race starts at 9 a.m. on Saturday, April 27th. And I probably should mention that this race is a week later than it typically has been. Mm-hmm. Due to the normal weekend, that's usually right around April 20th, being Easter weekend, we shipped it back a week just to avoid some conflicts there. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Yeah, $35 right now, and it's also for youth ages 6 to 14, it's only $15.
Nice.
And then late registration, so if it's an on-site packet pickup registration, that will go up to $40 for adults. It stays at $15 for youth. 14 and under, but yeah, it's a great deal, and we're looking forward to having a big crowd at the Fitgers 5K this year.
Good deal, yeah.
Perfect.
Well, that's great to kind of let people know what the new course is, and appreciate your time, Greg, and good luck setting up for the race.
Absolutely, thank you guys, we appreciate all you're doing, and looking forward to following the podcast.
Yeah, cool, thanks, Greg.
Yep, thanks.
So next, let's talk about trails in Duluth, trail conditions. We have closed trails as of today. So, you know, we're looking mid-April. Don't go on the trails, guys. Kind of the rule of thumb that I think of is if you're leaving a footprint, if you're cycling, biking, mountain biking, if you're leaving a tread print, you should probably turn around and, you know, stick to the roads. So I know that the City of Duluth Parks has put out an announcement that trails are officially closed. All natural surface trails, whether it be, you know, mountain bike, hiking trails, or, you know, the ski trails. And so, stay off the trails, guys. There's plenty of other options.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely just simply stay off of them for a little while. I know COGS even has some of their trailheads roped off with, you know, kind of a quick little barrier directly across the trail itself. That's a pretty good indicator that you should not go on those trails for sure. Let them dry up a little bit so that they don't get abused. The trails themselves don't get too abused.
So, I mean, Tony, I'm a trail runner. I like the trails for training, even racing, mostly. And so when I can get on the trails, that's where I'm at. You know, I live by Chester Park, love the Chester trails. But, you know, don't want to abuse the trails. I don't want to make it worse for everyone else. And frankly, it's just kind of crummy, you know, get all muddy and nasty and stuff. So for me, I went out to Fox Farm a couple weekends ago, Fox Farm Road. It's north of town. You can Google the address, gravel road. That was awesome. That was perfect running. A little bit of a softer surface. You're kind of out in the middle of nowhere getting north of town. And so I kind of got my trail fix going out to some gravel roads. Where have you been running lately?
Yeah, Fox Farm is great. It's about, you know, it's almost 10 miles one way, so you can get a lot of distance on that road, and it's kind of slightly hilly, but not too bad, and nice and curvy. It's a very scenic road. It's out by Pequon Lakes, if you haven't ever been out there. I'm on Vermilion myself almost every day, because I live here in town, and Vermilion's just right off of where we live. Relatively short amount of gravel, but the gravel itself is pristine to run on. It's firm, but soft enough. It's not very muddy right now at all, the gravel roads, because they tend to get a little bit more sun exposure and wind dries them up a lot quicker than a trail does. And so from Vermilion, I'll get out in north of town a little bit, just north of Martin Road, and I'll get onto some of the gravel out there. And again, that stuff is outstanding. So a gravel road is a nice substitute in the meantime while we have to be patient and wait for the trails to dry up.
Yeah, I've been running on roads too. Kind of one of my favorite spots, believe it or not, is like downtown Duluth in the alleys. Like, when are you ever in the alleys? And it's kind of cool. There's not as much traffic. It's kind of neat, you know, gritty. Sometimes you see stuff that, you know, you might not want to see.
I'm not going to run faster.
Make you run faster, but yeah. And I've been looping, putting together some loops where I'll go on the lake walk a little bit and then kind of pop into downtown Duluth areas. Yeah, just kind of do a big loop on roads, neighborhoods. Lake walk is always a good option. Yeah, you know, something that's just not on the natural surface, that's usually a good bet.
Yeah, for sure. Those are the places to be right now. Park Point, too, would be another road option that's nice and flat. But that's kind of what we have to do for now, especially for you trail runners that really want to be on the trails a lot. It's just going to be a game of patience for a little while. So,
and I know you mentioned, Tony, out west, the Munger Trail being ice-free or at least runnable.
Yep, that's what I'm understanding. I haven't been on it myself, but from what I hear, the Munger is really good right now.
Cool. So that's the story, guys. Why don't we take it to the coach's corner? Tony, what's your coaching tip of the day?
My coaching tip of the day. The only thing that I was just thinking about this the other day is this time of the year, especially people who are training for grandmas, you've been going, especially the marathon, and you've been going for, you know, a handful of weeks now since maybe, you know, mid-January. What I see a lot of times between mid-March and mid-April into late April is kind of that fatigue and / injury, and just you're just feeling beaten up. The miles accumulate by this point, and you start to feel, you can feel down mentally. You can even have a little bit of, you know, some IT band, some plantar fasciitis, that kind of stuff starts to pile up now. So I guess my advice at this point would be, if you're feeling that, either whether it's mental or physical burnout or fatigue, take some time, be patient with it. You know, utilize your recovery really well, and recognize the importance of that recovery, because you still can get to the starting line. And then if it's mental too, just kind of a mental burnout, that just happens to everybody. You just keep plugging away. Eventually you just kind of get a little bit tired of it. It's hard to stay super enthusiastic 100% of the time. But just be disciplined. And, with that, if you're having some mental fatigue, and like I say, just keep at it a little bit and things will get better. In May, I feel like when the weather starts to turn for the better, people get a little kind of re-energized at that point. You know, all of a sudden now it's June too. June comes around. It's like, oh, it's marathon month. Here we go. I'm ready to go. And then the taper begins. So.
Yeah. Great tip, Tony. And I kind of noticed this is I'm running on like the snow packed trails all winter. And then like this time of year, trails are closed. I'm onto the roads and I feel like I get beat up because of that. And just tends to happen. My shoes get kind of worn out and my old road shoes from the fall that I haven't been wearing much, I put those on. And I don't know if that's a reason, but that's kind of where I'm at. And I mean, training for Zumbro, me personally, I feel a little beat up and I keep telling myself, I know one of your quotes is the hay is in the barn. So I keep saying it's better to take a rest day and just not run, maybe do a hike or a walk or something versus go for another run. And I just noticed that running makes me feel a little bit beat down. So the hay is in the barn.
Another thing too is if you're a treadmill runner in the wintertime and then now you're outside on the roads, it'll feel a little more difficult on the roads versus the treadmill. And especially if when running on your treadmill, you keep it at a zero incline. Typically, you want a 1 or a 2% incline if possible. It kind of simulates the friction of the road a little bit better. But if you are a treadmill runner in the winter and now you're outside, you know what I'm talking about. That those first couple of runs, they feel way harder. You were running at X pace on the treadmill and now you run X pace again on the road and it feels way harder. That'll dissipate real quick though. Just keep going outside and that your second or third or fourth run and you're back to normal.
Nice. Yeah. Speaking of running on the roads, want to talk about some gear that I've been into. Feet hurt. I just said to myself, I need some new shoes. And so I went down to the Duluth Running Company, tried on a few pairs of these, kind of high cushion road runners. And I'm kind of personally into the high cushion, high drop road runners. And the one that felt the best for me was the Brooks Glycerin. And it was actually the previous year's model, which I believe is the 13. I think the 14 is the new one. Either way, yeah, I got it kind of a size too big, and it feels awesome. I love it. It's just like this nice, super soft, fits my foot great, really wide open. Great shoe. So that's what I've been running in mostly.
That would be a great shoe for you for sure. It's flexible too, and I think your foot kind of likes a more flexible shoe a little bit better.
Yeah.
You've had some rigid ones in the past, and I think from what I remember, the flexible shoe works well for you.
Yeah.
A new shoe that I just got just the other day. I'm running in three different pairs of different kinds of shoes right now, but I just bought a brand new shoe the other day and ran in it yesterday for the first time. Was up at Austin Jarrow. I got the New Balance More, which is basically, for those of you who know Hoka, which most of you don't know now, the More is a lot like the Hoka. It's a really max cushioned shoe, but it's firm. It's far firmer than most Hokas I've ever tried on. And I don't always love that firmness, but I really like it as a shoe to use on occasion. And I'm really feeling a little tired. I've got a little foot soreness. Partially, sometimes that foot soreness comes from a really flexible shoe and your foot really works harder. Every foot is a little different, but for me, too flexible of a shoe, I can get some fatigue in there, but then too stiff of a shoe, I can get a little beaten up. So this shoe is going to be utilized on occasion. Anyway, it's really cushy. It flows really nice when I'm running. Another good indicator if a shoe is a good fit for you after your first run, how do you feel the next day, the next morning? Are you really sore? And I woke up, I ran on them yesterday, so I woke up this morning and I felt fine. So no ill effects from the shoe and from the run, 12 hours prior. So
I kind of think too, with a more rigid shoe, I find that they last a little bit longer. One of my issues with Hoka, I guess, and I've only had one pair, so I don't want to make a broad judgment on them, but it was marshmallow soft, which feels really good. right away, but I noticed that they kind of got a little misshapen, and you know, the foam kind of compressed a little bit more. I find with a more firmer foam type, you know, you can eke out a few more miles on them. So
yeah, for sure. It's a good idea to have multiple shoes so that you can kind of extend the longevity of each individual pair a little bit better that way. The analogy I often make is, you know, is cars, and you have different cars for different purposes. A full-size SUV has a different purpose than a two-seat, you know, convertible. And shoes are the same exact way, just like bikes. Bike people have different bikes for different reasons. Running shoes are the exact same way, and you kind of want multiple shoes for different runs and different reasons.
Mm-hmm. So my other piece of gear, a key piece of gear this time of the year, is my 99-cent rain poncho. And I love this. I mean, I have a rain jacket and rain pants too, and those work, you know, pretty decent. But believe it or not, you know, I just love that rain poncho. I mean, 99-cent, I tear a hole in it, I just go out and buy another one. And yeah, kind of big and flowy, a little bit weird, but yeah, super useful. And you better believe I'm going to be using that this week in Edzone, bro.
Yeah, those things are perfect. They keep you dry, they keep you warm, and it's dirt cheap. And so if it tears or something happens to it, you really don't care. It's a great gear piece for sure.
Do you want to jump into what you're into? What are you into this week, Tony?
Some of the things I'm into, I read a lot. I read a lot of books. I'm almost always have a running book going at some point. And the one running book, and it's slash running slash just life. But it's called The Passion Paradox. It's by Steve Magnus and Brad Stolberg. Those two also wrote a running book called Peak Performance. Steve Magnus was an outstanding runner in his day and is now a coach at the University of Houston. Brad Stolberg is an author and also a runner and coach as well. And this book is a lot of fun. It's really, really interesting. It's almost like a textbook. When you're reading that book, it's kind of one of those books where you read a page and then you kind of stop and you think a little bit, and then you read another page and then you have to stop and think a little bit, because it's that kind of a thought-provoking and interesting book. And I'm really enjoying it. I'm about halfway through right now and really enjoying that book.
Cool. I've been into fastestknowntime.com. If you haven't been to this website, you can get into a wormhole like so easily. It's really cool. So what this website is kind of the, you know, if you will, the governing body of fastest known time, which is essentially, you know, speed records on different trails. And yeah, I'm looking forward to some kind of high profile fastest known time attempts coming up this season. You know, one of the most well known is obviously like Appalachian Trail, but I've been especially curious. Candace Burt is the race director for Tahoe 200, Bigfoot 200, and the Moab 240. And she is going for a fastest known time on the Arizona Trail, which is a 800-mile trail, I believe.
Wow.
And I don't know exactly when she's going for it, but I've been kind of tracking along that. And yeah, it's just a fun website to explore, fastestknowntime.com. Check it out.
Wow, that's a long ways. 800 miles, that's... Wow. That's doing the Superior Hiking Trail almost three times?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's a wrap for this podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Duluth Rundown. And look forward to seeing you all out on the roads and running in some races. This is Tony Stensland.
And Mike Ward.
Thanks so much, everybody. See you next time.